Hey, sweet mama, do you want to feel patient and calm with your children? Are you sick of constantly overreacting, yelling, and even experiencing mom rage with your family? Do you find yourself up late at night consumed with mom guilt and remorse for your words and actions with your kids? Do you wish you could have daily alone time to feel restored and connect with God? There is a way to take care of yourself guilt-free and show up as a calm, patient, and kind mama to your kids. Hey, I'm Elizabeth, and I'm a stress coach for Christian moms. I'm a wife, a mom of four, and the daughter of the King. Want to know how to become present, peaceful, and calm mama? I'm about to teach you how to connect with God, master your mindset, set healthy boundaries, and be in control of your emotions. My friend, I pray that this podcast blesses you. I'm Elizabeth, and you are listening to Emotionally Healthy Legacy Podcast. Hi, mamas. Welcome back to another episode of Emotionally Healthy Legacy. I have a guest with us today, and I'm really excited to talk to her. Her name is Tiffany, and we're going to talk about childhood and childhood trauma and how that impacts us as we get older and become moms, and what happens if we don't do anything about it. And her journey, she went through a healing journey, and now she's on the other end, and she is helping other women in their journeys with healing to get on the other end. So we're going to be talking about like depression and just a lot of sad and hurtful things. So maybe if you have little ears around, maybe this is not, you know, the best to listen in front of your kiddos. But anyways, Tiffany, I would love for you to introduce yourself, kind of tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and then we'll get into your story.
You bet. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity to share my story. Because just like you said, you know, I have this ambition to heal the world, and that's using my past pain for a purpose. So thank you. I appreciate it. So hello, everybody. My name is Tiffany Patlin. I am a health and wellness coach, bestselling author of the book, Unlocking Your Ability to Heal. I'm a podcast host of Tiffany Talks, where I do my best to share all my knowledge about holistic health, healing, and helping others. And I'm also on my way to becoming a future TEDx speaker, because I feel God has put it in my heart to speak my message. And this is like the next level up for me. And I'm not doing this for me. I feel like I need to do it for the world. So that's my next biggest thing. And I just actually, if you don't notice, this isn't a virtual background. I'm actually in California. I just got back. Like yesterday was the last day where I attended a full-blown, four-day, full immersive Unleash Your Rising breakthrough event, and I received so much clarity. So I'm in such an amazing space right now. So this couldn't have been a better time for me to come on and talk about my story.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for being here. So let's talk a little bit about your childhood. And you wrote a book about healing, and I started reading your book, and there's a lot of hurtful and painful things that you mentioned even in the first chapters. So let's go back and talk a little bit about that, and sure. Tell us what happened.
Okay. So to start, I pretty much was born into a family where my mother suffers from undiagnosed mental illness. My father is an alcoholic. I would even say my mother is as well. But you know, you're a baby, you know, you're brand new, you don't know nothing. You're just brought into the world. And that's the environment that I was brought into. I had an older brother. He's older by maybe a year and a half. And he struggles from his own issues because my father is not his biological father. So he was told at such a young age that, and I feel like, hello, abandonment issues. You know, like when he was so young, he did not know what to do with that information that he was told. I can only imagine what his little mind may have thought, that he was unloved, unwanted. I mean, who knows, you know, that and all the above. So he ended up with a lot of anger, and he did not know what to do with that because my mother and father didn't know how to handle their stuff. So how could they possibly teach him? So I was the target. I was the punching bag, if you will. I was the verbal punching bag. I was the physical punching bag. So they say, oh, yes, there's sibling rivalry. But I wish people would be more mindful of that, because that can easily cross into abuse, you know, where your boundaries are crossed, where you're being physically hurt, where you're being tormented and scared to tears to the point that you develop anxiety disorder from that. And you're literally being bullied in the home. So I, as a little girl, was very bright. I got straight A's in school. I made friends easy. I loved to talk and share about things. I had no fear. I was just like a great little happy child. You know, there was nothing wrong, at least so I thought. But this was the environment I was in. So if you can imagine, I was being mistreated by my mother. I was being neglected by my father and mother. You know, they spanked us, and it wasn't just a swat on the butt. It was hitting. And when we would cry and ask them to stop, it wouldn't stop. There were times when they would drink and have parties. I remember accidentally drinking alcoholic beverage because it was randomly sitting on the table. So I think about those things, and I can see areas where my parents could have paid more attention. They could have taught me the power of my voice. Because I remember asking questions and being told, how dare you question me? Like, they just wanted me to do what I was told, shut up and do what you're told. And that did not help me in my future. It actually kind of handicapped me, if you will, because children really, really need the power of their voice. Heaven forbid anything happens to them or they find themselves in a situation where they know something's not right. They need to be able to speak up to get the help that they need. And I was never taught that. Even though I was a lively girl and I was bright and I wasn't fearful or anything, when it came to my elders, I was taught to respect them. So when it came to adults, I wouldn't question. I did what I was told, and I would do my best to go above and beyond because of, I remember this one point where, and this is such a little tiny thing, but it was so impactful. I remember it till this day. Like I said, I was a straight A student, but at this one time I brought home my report card. And I was still in elementary school. Don't remember what grade, but still in elementary school. Straight A's, except for one B. I had one B. I don't know why, but I just happened to have one B this time. And my father looks at my report card, and I'm a little girl thinking, oh, my daddy's going to be so proud of me. You know, as kids, that's what we want. We thrive on praise, and we need that from both of our parents, not just one. It's helpful. I know some of us only have that one parent, and it's like I feel like single parents feel like they have to do the both, right? You have to be the mother and the father. You have to like double praise. I get that. But you know what? Don't worry about that. You just do the best that you can, and you praise your child because they're going to remember that when they grow up. So I was expecting my father to go above and beyond and praise me, but that's not what I got. Instead, I was criticized. He just looked at me and said, what, you couldn't get an A? And I'm like, okay. So if you can imagine, I started, you know, developing symptoms of like, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I don't matter. Things like this, which affected me throughout my life, in my home, in my career, you name it. So as you can see, little by little, as a young child, I'm already collecting hurtful and painful events in my life. And again, my parents did not know how to help me with any of this. So we're just living our lives, and we're just collecting. So as I go through life, I now have two younger brothers. My mom and dad, I think, experienced some adultery in there. I remember seeing some of my mother, you know, yanking my father's hair, trying to kick him out of the house. I saw a lot of stuff I shouldn't have seen. I remember seeing stuff on TV. We don't, as parents, even I'm guilty of this myself. We don't realize how important it is to monitor what our children watch on TV. And my parents did not do that. They didn't know any better, and they didn't do that. I think they thought they were doing a good job, but I saw stuff I shouldn't have seen. When your kids are in elementary school, they shouldn't be watching Freddy Krueger, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street. They shouldn't be watching Jason movies. Those, they had a lot of nudity in them, if I recall. Just a lot of vulgarity, just a lot of negativity, a lot of ugly stuff that little kids shouldn't even be learning about, seeing things, jail scenes, just all this ugliness. And I feel like maybe in my little mind, because I saw so much of that, it just was like normal, because that's what you see. And it's like, okay, well, in my household, I'm experiencing all this turmoil. I see it on TV. That's the world. That's the way the world is. Again, that's not the truth though, but that's what my little mind thought. And I think that's a lot of children in this world. We just see things and we, with the little information that we have, we create these stories in our head. And a lot of the time they're not even true, but we carry them as truth. And so that affects how we speak, how we feel, how we think, and how we react to everyday situations. So this would affect me all throughout my life. So let's see, I started, I thought that my self-mutilation started a little later, but I actually started cutting myself around the age of 11. And that was because I just didn't have a really solid relationship with my mom. We didn't brush each other's hair. We didn't paint each other's nails. You know, we weren't close like that. We didn't hug on a regular basis. There wasn't a lot of I love yous. I think we said it at nighttime, like when my brother and I would hug them and go to bed. But as we got older, that stuff kind of drifted off. It's like we got more and more and more disconnected. And something that I've learned being a mother of a 14-year-old boy myself is that our teenagers need us more than we realize. You know, we let them run off to their room and stay locked up on a computer. And it's just like, what are they doing? What are they thinking? What are they experiencing? And how are they handling these experiences? You know, they don't know a lot of stuff. They need to be guided and taught, especially as a teen, because they're coming into their own. They're growing up and learning. So they have this childhood over here that they have. And maybe there's a lot of stuff in there that's not serving them, like those truths that are really not truths. They're actually lies. But to them, they believe they're true. They're carrying that. And that's affecting them. And then they're also trying to figure out who they are because they're in the middle. You know, they're starting to become an adult. So they need parental guidance. And I didn't get that. And I feel it's just because my parents themselves did not have that. So how can they teach me something that they were never taught themselves?
Yeah, and that's so that true. Right there,
it's true. And it taught me how to forgive. It really did. Like when you understand that, it's like, it's true. It's like, how can you be mad at a small child? How dare you not know how to read if they were never taught, you know?
Yeah, that's, I think that's so common with, especially like abusive households. Our parents, I mean, my parents weren't abusive. There were some things that, you know, were destructive, but I wouldn't call it like abusive. But there's a lot of things that, like, when people grow up in homes like that, their parents just did what they knew. They didn't know any better. And like when I talk to my mom and about all the things that I've learned about emotional wellness and mental wellness, and she's like, "I'm sorry, we had no idea." Like my parents spanked us, but that's because they did not know another way to parent. Like legit, that's all they were taught. That's the way their parents did it. You don't question your parents. You also like respect. Like in our home, we could like question our parents some. Like my parents were more open to the idea, but my parents grew up in a home where you never question your parents. Like you just do what you're told, and so. And like, yeah, my parents are at a point now, they're like, "I'm sorry. Like we just didn't know any better." Like we just, especially my mom, she loves internal growth and personal growth too. And she's like, wish I knew all these things. I'm like, I'm not blaming you. Like you did your best with what you knew. So there's like definitely that part. I'd love for you to touch a little bit more on like the abuse you experienced. Cause you said you had physical abuse.
Yes.
Where like your brother and then your parents, they spanked you and they kept spanking you. It wasn't just like, you know, one swat. It was like ongoing. Like what other things did you experience that were abusive?
verbal in the home, the home with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people realize, but yelling at your children is very destructive. It is abusive because it hurts another person and we don't realize that. And I have to admit, and it's not, I don't like admitting it, but I need to. I'm guilty of that. I was very guilty. And I'll point out, there was a library book that my son had brought home one time, and it was called The Yellow Yeller. And they started referring to me as the Yellow Yeller. And that cut me like a knife. And I was like, OMG, you know, my children are looking at me as a yeller. I do not want that title. And then I started learning more and more about how destructive yelling can be to to a child. It breaks their spirit. It's like a negative vibration that's being directed at them, and they feel it. They're not just hearing it, they're feeling it. And then what words are you using? You have to be mindful of the words that you use. When you're angry, you're not thinking. Like my parents, that's why they spanked me again and again and again, because they were angry. So it's like I did something wrong and it triggered something in them. So it opened up that door for them to just go full on me. And that's why I believe they did that. And that affected me in a way to where now I was doing that with my child, which I don't do anymore. Once in a while I do it, it slips out. I'm human, but I give myself grace and I just keep pushing forward because I do not want my children to know me as a yeller, because yelling is very, very hurtful. Some of the other things that I experienced were, my brother was actually pretty physically abusive with me. He would watch TV and he would watch, wrestling, and he would do these wrestling moves on me. And, it wasn't playful. It was not playful because he would hold me down. He would physically hold me down and be really rough with me. And I would tell him to stop. And that's important. Because if you think about the future, how when women are raped or when women are grabbed or this and that by men, that's not okay. And I feel like with what he was doing to me was teaching me that it was okay. And it wasn't. And there's more physical abuse where I found out my father, I spoke to him, found out that my father does not remember this. And he actually told me over the phone, I never did that. And I'm like, Dad, yes, you did. And what he did at one point where, you know, I don't remember what happened outside, like what led to it. I just remember the abusive part. And he got really, really angry with me and he grabbed me by my head and he just like threw me and I flew into the wall and there was a dent. My head made a dent in the wall and he does not remember that. And I'm pretty sure it's because he was under the influence. Looking back, I believe he was drunk and that's why he doesn't remember. And I remember another time just, I think I was reaching for something, some more food from the center of the table or something. And I don't know what really I did that triggered him, but he ended up getting really angry and he grabbed my hand to the point where he squeezed it almost like, my mother thought, got scared thinking that he was going to break my hand. So she actually intervened. And that's not something that I was used to. I'm not used to my mother stepping in like that to protect me, but she did at this moment. And it was scary, you know? So it's like, we're supposed to be loved and comforted. You know, we're not supposed to be hurt, you know, but there's that famous quote that just pops into my head. Hurt people, you know, they hurt others.
Yeah. And like one of the things I want to focus on is because my big focus is on moms and moms, stress management, mental wellness and emotional wellness, because it shows up in how they show up for the family. If you're internally struggling, you're going to be a lot more triggered. Your anger and rage is going to come out. You're going to say and do hurtful things. So let's kind of pull back and focus on you. Like we'll start out with the basics and then we go from there, right? Like we learn positive skills, like managing your emotions and regulating them, because obviously your parents weren't in a place like that. And like, let's talk about the impact of mental struggle in a family and how that impacts emotional struggles. Cause like emotional wellness and mental wellness is a little different, but if you're mentally struggling, you're going to emotionally struggle. Yes. If you're mentally in a bad place, you're going to have a really hard time managing, controlling your anger and all those like hard and big feelings. All right. So your parents were mentally struggling. And then that turned into a lot of emotionally abusive and physically abusive and hurtful events. Right. And so let's talk a little bit about the impact of like how that impacted you as a kid and how that showed up when you became a mom. Right? Because so many things, it's like we have all these experiences when we were kids and we're like, oh, you know, like, oh, as you get older, you just try to shove it and you're like, oh, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. It's the past. We'll just move forward. But it really does impact you. You start reacting in ways the parents did. I know that for myself, my parents, their default was spanking. And guess what? When I became a mom, my default was spanking for years until I recognized, like, and I was introduced to a whole new world of gentle parenting and like emotional regulation and all of that. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do this anymore. Yet when I'm stressed out, when I'm in a bad place, I go back to my automatic and default, even though I know that's not what I'm going to do. Because that was from my childhood, because that was from my past, and it's impacting me even today. So let's talk about how your history, your abuse, your mental, emotional, and physical abuse affected you when you became a mom.
I knew that since my parents, when they would spank us and it would kind of go overboard, I knew I didn't want to spank my kids. So with my first child, I did not spank him. He was actually a pretty good kid. I don't really recall spanking him. I think the first time he like said something disrespectful, I gave him a swat in the mouth because my father instilled respect, right? Really strong. And so I was like, you're going to respect me. How dare you? And he was small. He was a toddler. But I did it because I was going to nip it in the bud, and it worked, but I feel like I didn't need to physically slap him in his little cheek, you know, to do that. So there was that, and it stemmed from my father. My mother, she, again, it's undiagnosed, but I'm telling you, I can see the signs clear as day. She suffered from anxiety disorder, and I think that traveled onto with me. An example is she made it a point to try to get us to go to church. But she would get crazy. Like she would get overbearing, stressed out, like full of anxiety that we were going to be late, and she would scream and she'd be yelling. And it was just crazy. We didn't like, what the heck is your problem? You know? And it would get to the point where my father would tell us to go stand by the front door, and it could be a half hour. He didn't care. He wanted us ready, no stress, probably because he didn't want to hear it from my mother. Mm. But then I feel like I picked up on that. Because then it got to the point where in the future, it's like, if I thought I was going to be late or things weren't going right, I would get frazzled. And it was like, I was reacting exactly the same way that she was. And oh my goodness, when I realized that, I'm like, this is not who I want to be. I do not want to be that person. So I think acknowledging that is the first step. You acknowledge it, and then you look back and find out the root of it. Then you understand. And when you understand, then that leads to compassion, which leads to forgiveness. And once you can forgive, that's when you can like let it go. And then it's no longer within you to the point that you won't come back to it. It won't be a trigger. You'll never forget it, but it's not controlling you to the point where it will no longer be a default. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Stuffing your emotions. You were taught to stuff your emotions. And like, I'm so big at expressing your emotions, but in a healthy way.
Yes.
Finding healthy ways to talk about things. And like, even with my husband and I, when like we're having a conversation and I notice we're getting triggered and like things are getting more riled up, like both of us are getting to a place where like, okay, we need to pull back and take a break because we're starting to say, yes, like we need to take a break. We'll come back to this either later today or tomorrow in a couple of days. But like, this is getting emotionally charged. You're saying things that are over exaggerating or hurtful things. And I'm starting to raise my voice and I don't want this. Right. And so like, we're at a point where like, okay, I see that you're getting emotionally charged. And I'll tell my husband, I'm like, we're done talking about this. I don't want to say hurtful things that I'll regret later. I need to take a break and we can talk about this, you know, tomorrow or later. And so, but you were taught to kind of stuff your emotions. And how is that showing up? Because obviously it affects our health in many ways when we stuff our emotions. And then like, then it's hard for us to even express it, to understand what we feel, why we feel it. So let's talk a little bit more about that. Like, and the impact that it had on you, like how was it showing up in your day-to-day life and in your motherhood?
So when we experience traumatic events and we don't acknowledge them, we don't, you know, pay attention to them and honor our emotions, which can be through crying, whatever the case may be, and releasing those, they become stored in our subconscious. And that's where our identity is. It's what makes up who we are. So whenever we you know, think about something or something happens, we experience something, our thoughts, our feelings, our reactions to everyday situations, they stem from that place of trauma where you've been collecting all of those experiences of trauma that were never resolved. They all live and are alive within us. And we think out of sight, out of mind, but they are alive. So that's why we are triggered. If those emotions were not inside of us, then we would not be triggered. But because they're unresolved still in us, that's why we're triggered. And there's some things that I've experienced that, you know, would trigger me a lot. And they no longer affect me because I did the work and I did like a release ritual. You know, it's like an emotional brain dump where you just write everything out and you just get rid of it and you let it go. You wrap it up in peace and love and any cut off any attachments and you just release it. So it's no longer within you. And the way that showed up for me when it was alive in me is anger, a lot of anger, just crazy amounts of anger. Easily triggered over so many things to where my responses to other people might have been like, what the heck is your problem? Like, what is your problem? Like, you know, because it's abnormal. Like, it's not healthy. It's not normal. It seems though these days that a lot of that is the new normal and people respond without compassion. You know, they're just like, what the heck is your problem? Blah, 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 blah. And then they just want to argue and get crazy and combative. And it's like, where's the compassion? You don't know what they're going through. Why are they triggered? What are they carrying? What happened to them? People don't think about things that way. I do now because I understand now. So when I see somebody that's reacting in a way that is not healthy, I'm like, I just look at them and I'm like, oh my goodness, I wonder what happened. Like, what are they going through? I was like, oh my gosh, their parents probably, oh, just like, and I just start thinking. And
yeah,
just like, my heart goes out.
Remind me of like a post I did a while back. And it's like, you see a mom at the park losing it at her kids and freaking out. And we like judge her. Oh, she's such a like, you know, whatever.
She's a bad mom.
She's a bad mom. But you have no idea what's going behind all that pain. Like maybe she's not supported. Maybe she's so burned out and overwhelmed. Maybe she's so stressed out. Maybe she's going through a divorce. Maybe like, you know, she just had a, you know, her spouse just abused her like 10 minutes before. Like you have no idea. And we see things from a lens of judgment. And I was that mom too. I've totally done that. And like knowing now what I know now, it's like when somebody has that big explosion, there's something underneath. There's always, you don't just explode for no reason.
Yes.
Sometimes it's literally basic unmet needs. Maybe you're still sleep deprived and you need to eat some food. Sometimes. Other times it's a lot deeper than that, right? It's like there's a lot of pain underneath that needs to be addressed and processed through. So like I focus a lot on emotional like regulation, but also like we need to process emotions and release emotions. Mm-hmm. We can't just like, yeah, we can regulate ourselves in the heat of the moment sometimes, but if we keeping everything still inside of us and it's not processed, it's going to keep coming up over and over and over again. Right. And so for you, you said it was coming up in mom rage and easily triggered. And then all that mom guilt sets in. Oh my gosh, I'm a mom, right? Like, oh my gosh, I'm messing up my kids. Oh my goodness. So there's so much great stuff. I'm so glad you're talking about this because I think a lot of moms can relate with that. So let's touch a little bit moving forward. Let's touch on the healing. Like, how did you get onto this journey? And let's talk about some of the things that you did to heal. You mentioned journaling, but I'm sure there is more than that that, you know, brought you onto this journey and because, and like how that impacted you and your motherhood.
I feel that I was actually spiritually guided to this healing journey and I didn't even realize it. It started a little more than 12 years ago where I just stumbled on, and it starts with nutrition, and I just stumbled on a documentary and I started learning about the truth about what goes on with our food and the food industry. And I remember being really angry and floored because I felt like I had been lied to my entire life. So I started learning and honing in on nutrition. So, you know, now we eat a lot of whole foods, organic foods, lean meats, this, that, and the other, because we've learned just how important our nutrition is to our mental health, to even stress, to everything, your physical health, your spirituality. It's all interwoven and connected. So that was where I kind of started. And then shortly afterwards, I started to become fit because I started noticing, you know, from this, I think from the sexual abuse that I had experienced as a child, I ended up picking up feelings of unworthiness. Like I had no self-love for myself. So I ended up feeling, I wanted to do something about it. So I said, if I don't like the way that I am, let me do something about it. So then I started on my fitness journey. And so I learned how to become fit, which is our physical health really does come in two parts. It's your nutrition as well as your fitness. You can't have one without the other. They really go hand in hand because a stagnant body will promote disease. And if you think about people who are depressed, it's hard for them to get out of bed. They're not moving their body. So that's just adding to it. So that's why nutrition is such a key part of healing. And so that's where it really started for me. And then like fast forward to, when was it, 2019. I went to, we were struggling financially, my husband and I started a business, Cosmic Sweets, and I was hustling. You know, I wanted to grow this business. I got to make some money for my family. And that's when I started, I met my book coach that year, and I had just started honing in on my mental health, and I started learning about release rituals. I started learning about all these things. I'll share this pivotal moment where I moved to Utah from California, thinking, oh, my depression is gone. You know, I had two new babies and I'm like, oh, you know, life is great. My husband, we moved to Utah, we bought a house, life is gravy, you know, but then I had my first winter and that triggered the depression. I thought I had escaped. And it came up to the point where, you know, we were struggling financially. My husband and I were not doing well. I'm laying in bed and I'm like, what's that freaking point? You know, I was so angry, so mad, fed up. Did all this work, went through all this, you know, physical, mental, sexual, and substance abuse, and rose above it. And I'm not doing that anymore. I'm trying to be a mom. I'm married. And like, why is this happening? Why is my life? Why do I still feel this way? Like, why? And I just was so angry. I gave up. And I found myself laying in bed for a couple of days. I didn't care. I was like, I don't care. I don't care if I eat. I don't care. I just don't care anymore. And then my little one comes into the room and says, why is mommy laying in bed? I needed that because that's when I was like, no, I am not going to do this to my children. My children deserve to have a healthy minded mother. My children deserve to have a better mother than mine was to me. My children do not deserve for me to do this to them. They do not deserve to experience the symptoms of my trauma that I have not addressed. My children do not deserve that. So that was when I made the decision to stand up and do something about it. And I didn't even know what that looked like. I had no clue. I was clueless, to be completely honest with you, clueless. I've heard about therapy, but that's not where my mind was going. And I had gone to therapy before when I was in California, and it was helping. I had gone two different times to a woman and a man, and it helped a little bit, but nowhere near, obviously, because hello, I was triggered with depression when I got to Utah. So there was still obviously some stuff for me to work on. So that's when I started doing a research. I started researching anything and everything I could get my hands on. Research, which was easy because I was nursing my baby at the time. And you know, us moms, you know, you're sitting there, you have a lot of time. So I researched a lot. And that's when I learned that I saw those words, mind, body, and soul. And I'm like, yeah, I've seen that before. And it just hit me. And I was like, okay, every single day, not just in my life, but every single day, I'm going to do something that supports my mental health, my physical health, and my spirituality. And so that's what I started doing. How do I take care of my mental health? And I started learning about that release ritual. And so I did it and it worked. I typed out, I came to my computer. They say to write it out because, you know, writing is very therapeutic, but I'm a fast typer and I had a lot. So I was like, let me just do this brain and feeling dump, emotional dump. Did it, burned it, released it. And the next day I felt light as a feather. And I say that I never knew that trauma was so heavy. I didn't even realize that I was carrying this heavy weight. It just was normal to me. You'd be carrying it my entire life. It's like being born with a backpack of trauma. Like you don't realize it's there. It's just a part of you, but it doesn't have to be. It is a detachment. We don't need to carry that. It's not ours to carry, you know, like, we just were never meant to carry it. So after I released it, I just was like, this stuff works. I got to figure out. And I just like, it just inspired me and motivated me to just keep going. What else can I do? What else can I learn? What else is wrong with me? Shouldn't have said that, but you know, that's what I was saying at the time. Like, what else is wrong with me so I could get rid of it? And I was full of so much gratitude. And after that, that led to me, even though I was still struggling with anxiety disorder and social anxiety and all that jazz, going back to that Cosmic Sweets business that I had, that I started, I needed to provide for my family. So even though it was scary for me to drive by myself, I was sick and I probably shouldn't have been going anywhere, but I was sick. I think I drove about an hour away, which was scary for me. It was snowing. I was by myself, all the things. I could have made up every single excuse in the world to not go. And I've done that in the past because of my anxiety. But for whatever reason, I was like, gung ho, I'm going to do this. Went to this female entrepreneur conference, and that's where I met my book coach. And I started writing my book. And in writing my book, there was more healing because, again, writing is therapeutic. That's like kind of like, yeah, duh, but I didn't connect the dots at the time. And I basically had to create a timeline of my life in order to write my book in chronological order. And I feel like that's one of the tools I put in there because that's very helpful for people. Sometimes people don't even realize that they've experienced any type of abuse or trauma. So writing a timeline of your life, creating a timeline, like spending time alone with yourself to just remember and see what pops up for you is really helpful because that's like a signal that there's still something for you to address and purge. You got to purge that and stop carrying that. And so with the mental health, I honed in on that, got really healthy with that, got into a good place with that, healed through my book, became an Amazon bestseller, started showing up on videos. You know, because before I would never have been able to do something like this. Like it would have terrified me to the bone. I'm like, yeah, right. See you later. And now I'm like so grateful that I'm able to come on and share my story. And this is all because of the healing work. It's not just one thing. It's focusing on my nutrition, making sure I eat healthy, making sure I move my body every day. Mentally, I've purged and released so much of that trauma that I'm a lot lighter. Like my thoughts are my own. I know who I am. I've been able to shed and purge those lies that I thought were truths. I've been able to shed those. And I see things so differently now in a way that I never saw them before. And it just, your perspective heals because you see things in a different light. And the more you understand and the more you experience, the more you just can't help but just get in deeper and you just start rising and you feel different. You're more uplifted, you know? And so after I became in a kind of a good place with my mental health, then it's like the spirituality piece started happening. I started being outside more, paying attention, you know, to just the beauty of outside, the leaves, the flowers, the little things, you know, like they say, to pay attention to the little things, walking outside, learning about spirituality, learning about God. I started learning about like tarot and pendulums and stuff. And then I kind of went off track with that. It's like I was in such a deep search for spirituality. I started going down that road, but I feel like God had another plan for me. And it came to the point last year, I went to another breakthrough event, like the one I just came back from. And I knew something amazing was going to happen, but I had no idea what it was. But I trusted that because I'm on my healing journey. I'm listening now. I'm feeling more. I'm being more in tune with things. And I knew something amazing was going to happen. I had no idea what it was. Normally that would have scared me, but now it's like, no, I'm not scared. I'm excited. You know, we don't have to always look at that energy as nervous energy or scared, you know, or anxiety or anything like that. We're excited. Let's be excited. Let's turn that into excitement. And that's what I did. And I went and I came back, you know, giving my life to Christ, baptized, and I've never been the same. And now I'm so connected in my church. My husband is changing. Our marriage is better than ever. My marriage is saved. My marriage has been saved. My son is learning about God. They're learning about spirituality. They're learning about mental health. My son exercises with me. He's learning. So it's like a ripple effect because I stood up and made the choice to heal myself. My children are benefiting. My marriage is blossoming. My husband is healing. And ladies, my husband, just like me, we both have a really, really rough background. And he's healing. And I never thought, I'm not joking, I'm being honest, like I didn't know, I didn't think he was ever going to get better. But then through God, I started learning, if anything's possible, God's the one that can do it, right? He can do anything. And he did. He did. And he keeps showing up in my life. And it's just been the most beautiful experience ever. And now that's, it's not just a life, it is a lifestyle, you know, focusing daily on your mental, physical, and spiritual health. It is a lifestyle. It's not just something that you do. And it's almost like going back to the way simple living used to be before, you know, man came and did all these things. And we just need to get back to simplicity and living among the elements, honing in on ourselves, being connected to the earth, to the world, being compassionate. And we all have the ability to do that. We're all human and we all have this amazing healing ability within us. It's just how we were made. You know, we were meant to thrive on natural whole foods. You know, there's, for every ailment, there is a food that heals. And our mental health, I really believe mental health is honestly just symptoms of trauma. Once you address the trauma and you start eating healthy, because our foods have toxins, our lotions, our soaps, everything has toxins. So we're like bathing, breathing, ingesting candles, scented, all this stuff. It's all chemicals. That affects your mental health. That's why it's so important to do all three. Because if you just focus on your mental health, there might be like, why is my mental health still there? Like, why am I struggling? Well, are you still consuming all these chemicals? Is your body still being bathed in all these? Are you ingesting all these chemicals? It plays a part. So that's why it's key to take care of that as well. And I think that's why, and I truly believe that God led me through this journey, the physical health, you know, the toxin.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that it's not just one, because I have a little like problem and I'm still struggling through that. I grew up in a conservative Baptist community, and even the church that we are members at, I honestly feel like there's a huge focus now on the spiritual aspect. And I feel like they're personally, me being a person who's super practical, and like, they don't tell you how to implement it when you go home, right? They're like, I go home and I'm like, you know, let's say they say, oh, be angry and do not sin. And then they send you home and you're like, well, how, right? Like, what do I do? The practical aspect. And so I really like that you mentioned, like, there's the physical aspect of taking care of your body, because yes, you can pray for God to heal you, but if you're still eating junk food, like, and let's say you already have cancer and you're, you know, eating ice cream and sugar and like consuming alcohol, no. Like, we need to do all three, right? Like you said, yes. We can't just be like over spiritualizing things and not taking any action on the part that we need to do. So there's the God responsibility, only things that God can do, some of the healing that he can do, and like moving our hearts, right? There's things that only God can do, help us forgive and stuff, but there's action steps that we need to take in our day-to-day life that are practical. And like you said, moving your body, that is really important. And like, you know, doing like, you know, processing your trauma, like talking about it, writing about it, releasing it. I remember one of the times when I was releasing some of the trauma, like we wrote it down on a post-it note. And then like, the group leader, she had like a cross that she made and then like a poster, and we would put it at the foot of the cross that we were like releasing and letting go all that pain and giving it to Jesus instead of trying to carry that burden. And so just like that visual, right? Like of releasing it. And like yeah. You said, for you, it was like burning all those trauma yeah. and all that hard things. But I really like how you mentioned that it's all three. It's like the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. And when we embrace all three of it, that's when we start to thrive. That's when we turn the corner versus like doing only one thing. Like, I feel like sometimes when people over spiritualize things and they're still struggling because they're not addressing the mental things, the trauma,
exactly.
They're not addressing the fact that you like need to move your body and like, you know, eat nutritious foods. And I've watched a bunch of documentaries on like the food stuff too. So like, I totally get you and I feel you. And so like, I'm just so glad that you mentioned it's not just like the one thing and how it affected your family, like how it affected you. Cause like, I see you and you're like radiating, you're like smiling, you're so happy. And it's like, you're thriving. I can tell that you're thriving in life versus just like, just like, you know, withering away, you know. I was telling my husband the other day, I was at our old church and I saw a woman there and like in the corner sitting by herself. And I question if she's in an abusive relationship because some of the things that like I know, and I'm pretty sure she is, but you like, I saw her from a corner of my eye and she just looked like she's about to just like a flower that's about to just like break, you know. It just makes me feel so sad, you know, when you see somebody who is in a good place and they're radiating and it's just like it overflows to everyone else versus someone that's just like dying from the inside, right? Because like, yeah, like she had darkness under her eyes and she just looked just so like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my heart just goes out to her. It just, and I don't even know if she would ever be willing to talk about what's going on because the community that I grew up in, like, you don't talk about stuff like that, especially if your husband is like higher up in the church ministry. Uh-huh. Like, there's no way you should ever talk about things like that. But it's just,
Did you talk to her?
I didn't. I had little kids with me. I just wasn't I couldn't come up to her and talk to her. Just I had like the baby and a toddler. It was just like,
gotcha. Yeah.
Wouldn't work out. But so I'm just so glad that you mentioned that it takes all three, and like there's the God's part and there's your responsibility. And when we combine both of those and take action and what we can take action and surrender to God, what only He can do, that's when we turn the corner and we start thriving life, right?
Yes.
I'm
living proof.
Yeah.
I am living proof, people. And, you know, in my book, I talk a lot about all the abuse that I endured, and it's a lot more than, you know, what I'm able to share here and now. And so if, you know, if this has resonated with you in any way, you know, I encourage you to read my book because I wrote it for you. I wrote it for the world.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more where we can find you, the name of your book again, and where people can find it and where our listeners can connect with you.
So my book is called Unlocking Your Ability to Heal, Reinvent Your World Mentally, Physically, and Spiritually. And it really, you know, hones in on my life story. I have a lot of scientific research woven throughout. I put a lot of the tools that I learned and that I used myself that worked for me in there. And I also created a self-care section in the back of the book, again, that shows a lot of the things that I learned about, things that I do, that I use. And so it's into three different sections, one for your mental health, your physical, and your spiritual. So anybody out there can actually just, if you have that self-care section in hand, all you have to do is choose something that resonates with you as a unique individual, because we are all humans and we are all unique and all different. And we all receive trauma differently and experience it differently. But what is universal is that we all have the ability to heal. And so that can be achieved by focusing every day on your mental, physical, and spiritual health. And you can do that by, I call it my like healing trifecta, the trio, whatever, you know, something like that. And it's just, you know, picking each thing that resonates with you as a unique individual, because maybe I like swimming, you like walking or running, you know, so it has to mean something to you. So you can sift through there, pick something for your mental, physical, spiritual, and put it into action and just start building and see what happens for you, because you will just experience the natural side effects of just healing in all areas of your life. And you can also get the only just the self-care section is a free gift to you just by registering on my website at tiffanypatlin.com. My book is sold on Amazon, and it's also sold through my website at unlockingyourabilitytoheal.com. That's where you can get a signed copy and a free little gift from me to you. And I will soon be coming out with the audio version. When I get back to Utah, I plan to hit up that audio version, because I know there's a lot of people out there that they want to read the book, but they're just, you know, I get it. You don't have a lot of time to just sit there and read a book. I kind of wish we did, but I get it. So that's coming soon.
Yeah, thank you for doing the audio version for people like me who are moms with little ones. I definitely, like, I'll listen when I'm driving, or I'll go when I'm outside and my kids are playing at the park or whatever, like, or I'm loading the dishwasher at night. That's when I listen to audiobooks, because I love audiobooks, because it allows me to do laundry and listen to an audiobook at the same time, right? I feel like I'm killing two birds with one stone. So thank you for doing
us that. Moms need to multitask.
Yes. As much as I love the idea of sitting down and reading it, and I have a ton of books, the reality is I start a lot of them and I don't finish a lot of them because of, like, and I'm also that person, like, I hear of another book and I get so excited and I don't even finish the first one. Like, oh my goodness, I must have like at least 50 books, but if you ask me which ones you read from cover to cover, maybe five, because a lot of them I start and I don't finish it. But if it's an audiobook, I listen the whole thing. So
yeah. Awesome. Well,
thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you sharing your story, because I know it's not easy to talk about hurtful things that happen, but the more we talk about it, the easier it gets. So
that's
thank you so much for sharing. And I'm sure there's going to be somebody who's listening to this that can resonate with that, and they will reach out and find the resources that you offer. So thank you so much.
Hey, Mama, here are the takeaways. Number one, the environment we grow up has a huge impact on our mental and emotional health. As parents, we need to be aware of this as we are raising our kids. Number two, if we don't address our childhood trauma, we will keep unintentionally repeating the same patterns with our kids. Number three, it's important to mentally, spiritually, and emotionally release hurtful things in our life so they don't hold heaviness over us. And number four, wellness includes a spiritual relationship with God, physical health, nutrition, and moving your body, as well as mental health practices. You need all three. Hi, friend. Did you learn something new or found value in this episode? If so, would you stop right now and share this episode with one Christian mama friend who has young kiddos and could benefit from this message? Word of mouth is the best way to spread the word and grow this podcast. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, would you please rate and review on Apple Podcasts so I know that this content is helpful and I can continue to create more episodes. This is really the only way for me to know that you are blessed by this podcast. I'll see you soon, my friend. God bless you.